out our hearts, but we'll be having a meal afterwards and playing a game and some activities with that. And it's chili dogs, and so bring something that will go with that, or a dessert or a drink, so that we can have a good fellowship meal tonight together. Appreciate all that was shared with us this morning. And of course, I understand that our time is somewhat limited now, but I think it's so important to share and think about the efforts that we're making financially. And really, those are not just about dollar signs, but they're about souls, they're about people, and they're about the works that we're trying to do for the Lord. And so we look forward to 2016 and believe that the Lord has a lot of things in store for us this year. Angelic proclamations. The term angel simply means messenger. And so an angel was a messenger of God, someone who brought a message for the Lord and carried it out, a message for Him. There's a lot of interest today in angels, and people get fascinated with them, and they think about angels in terms of guardian angels and all kinds of things that people like to consider when we think about the term angels. People even maybe will even consider people becoming angels after they die, and there's all types of really folklore that's developed over angels. But when we go back and we study the Bible about angels, we see that they were powerful beings who carried out the message and the will of God, and sometimes did chores or tasks for Him. But primarily they were deliverers of a message. And I want you to see three key messages that angels announce about Jesus. First of all, they announce that He is here. He is here. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, we have the story in Luke's gospel of the birth of Jesus. And it is recorded about how Joseph takes Mary, and they are in the city of David, Bethlehem, verse number 4. And Jesus is born. And then in verse number 8, the Bible says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Then the angel announces to the shepherd that Jesus has arrived, that the Savior, the Messiah, the one that had been longed for and looked for all through the pages of the Old Testament, the one that we as humans understood, we needed a Savior, we needed someone to die for our sins, to reconcile us back to God. The Savior has come. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, Christ the Lord. And then notice in verse number 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts." So you have this multitude of angels, and they are praising God, and they are saying, "Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." What are the angels basically saying here that we need to make sure we note? Jesus is here. The Savior has come. In John chapter 1, John goes back farther than any scriptural account, even back all the way to Genesis and before Genesis, because the Bible says, "In the beginning," taking us back to Genesis 1:1, when God created this world, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And verse 14 says this marvelous statement. The Bible says this, "The Word," this Word who was in the beginning with God, who was God, "this Word became flesh and dwelt." He pitched His tent among us. He settled here and stayed here for a temporary time. "And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." When the angels made a message, an announcement to the shepherds, they made an announcement for all of us to take heed to. Jesus is here. But notice the angels were not done making messages about Jesus, because they will also announce later on at the end of Jesus' life that he's not here. In Matthew chapter 28, as well as the other gospel accounts in some of their latter chapters, announce how the angels come, and they announce when they come to the tomb, when the women come to the tomb and others come to the tomb to look for Jesus. They say, he is not here, in so many words. For example, in Matthew's account, chapter 28, Mary, Magdalene and the other Mary, verse number 1, go to the tomb. And there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. You can get a picture of that today, how beautiful and white snow is. And this angelic being's clothing was radiating like white snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Listen to this. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, for see, I have told you. The angels tell the women, he's not here. You know, it's one thing to believe that your religious leader came to earth, that he was here. Most religions have a founder, right? But our founder is not still here, is he? You can't go to his tomb. You can't go to the place that honors him and remembers his life where he is now buried. The Lord we serve is not here. His body was resurrected on that first day of the week. And we assemble each first day of the week to remember that our Lord is not here. That he's not here in his physical body. We understand that the Lord is here with us spiritually. But we remember and we celebrate that our Lord was resurrected. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible would give us a record of how the Lord appeared at one time to over 500 and how he appeared to the apostles. And Paul, in that wonderful chapter, details the importance and the significance of the resurrection and how if Christ is not raised, our faith is in vain. The reason we can have the victory over death is because of the resurrection of Jesus. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, his resurrection assures our future resurrection. He's not here. He is here, said the angels. But later on they came back and they said, he's not here. But the angels will make one more message about Jesus that we need to take note of. And it's found in the first chapter of the book of Acts, when Jesus is about to leave and he's going to ascend. Verse number 6, we read this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, when he had given them that message that they were going to be his witnesses, when he had said these things, they were looking on, and he was lifted up, what we call the ascension. He ascended into heaven, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, so you can see the apostles standing around wondering and looking and seeing and thinking about him just being taken up into heaven. And two men stood by them in white robes. Two angels came. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He's coming back. The angels told the shepherds, he's here. They told the women at the tomb, he's not here. But they told the apostles at the ascension, he's coming back. And this is really the gospel, isn't it? It's what we believe. It's what we practice. It's why we do not worship angels, but we worship the message they delivered. The message of the risen Savior. That he came. That he died. That he was raised from the grave. And that he's coming back once again. You see, the Bible would tell us in chapter 4 of Paul's first letter to Thessalonica church. They'll tell us that when he returns on a cloud like he left, that in verse number 16, the Lord will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel. With the voice of an archangel, it's going to be loud. It's going to be that trumpet call as we often think of. And the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, it's going to be another loud messenger coming, a loud message from an angel then. He's coming back. And we await that, don't we? We long and look forward to when he comes back. And so as you think about the work of angels, you think about all that is maybe said about angels and things of that nature, let's remember the most important work of angels were delivering messages. And the message they delivered us was, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. It's about his glory. It's about his honor. He is here. He came to earth. He was resurrected. He's not here. But he's coming back one day to claim his church and take us to be with him. Are you right with that Lord? Are you right with Jesus? Are you ready for when that final angelic messenger gives that great call and great voice, and Christ comes riding on the clouds? Are you ready? If you're not, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, or if you need to be restored and rededicated this morning, come as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters roll. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure waters share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We're glad you're here this morning. If you're a visitor, we welcome you back at each and every opportunity that you may have. Services will be tonight at 5 o'clock and then Wednesday night at 7. We...